Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check us out on the Five Reasons YouTube channel an hour before every game, before floor. As soon as the game ends, post up 5R and, of course, all of the other shows on all of the other teams in town. Big Hurricane stream today. There's been a big Dolphin stream yesterday. We do everything on the YouTube channel, so make sure you check it out. Also, fivereasonsports.com for the latest takeaways. That's from Brady Hawk and others. Mateo Mayorga, one of our writers there on the site as well. We do not have a paywall. And check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. This is one you may not want to have to call them, but there are times that, you know, you need someone like that. This is Water Cleanup of Florida. If you're a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim, or you're dealing with water, mold, or fire damage, you got to find a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor. Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress that an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 60 years, that's over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team prepared to handle any size disaster. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide the A to Z service and one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. No need to bring in other contractors. They'll handle it all for you. It's Water Cleanup of Florida. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell. That's 954-579-0356. 954-579-0356. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you got the schmutz,
he got the guts.
And now, tonight's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back on Five on the Floor. Here's tonight's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo eventually here. You can follow him here at Tropical Blanket, having some technical issues, but he'll be joining us here during the program. Miami Heat beat the Atlanta Hawks. They fall behind early. They don't shoot very well early in the game. And then Tyler Hero comes in and everything changes. The Heat dominate the Hawks. They look like a much more together team than Atlanta, a team that they were supposed to be competing with in the division this year. The Hawks are falling apart. But unlike last year when the Hawks were falling apart and the Heat kind of gave them a lifeline in a couple of games, Miami did not in this game. So we're going to focus on two things in particular tonight. Both of them are bench related, okay? Which is Tyler Hero, sixth man tonight, did a little bit of everything, not just the scoring, although he got that going early with 8 quick points when Miami needed baskets, but the playmaking, the double digits and assists and everything else that he was doing tonight, setting guys up. And also the combination with Duncan Robinson off the bench, which has worked of late. Max Strus in the starting lineup. We don't know that this is going to be a permanent thing. I think we all believe that Duncan Robinson returns to the starting lineup when Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo are back. But for now, one of the combinations that's been problematic for Miami over the past couple of years, which is Hero and Robinson, has been working. Greg, why?
Well, because they played the Atlanta Hawks for one tonight. I think that, you know, Atlanta's just so bad defensively. They were picking on Trey every chance they get. I almost feel like you could hunt Trey Young with Duncan Robinson and Duncan Robinson could probably go get 20 on him. That team looks weird. Atlanta is in a weird headspace in general. So I don't know that this Hero Robinson offensive spark. They were both plus 18. I'm just glancing down here at the box score. I don't know that that's necessarily something we're going to see translate game over game. And especially in the playoffs, I don't know that Hero and Duncan are a duo you're going to see a ton of, but it's games like this where Tyler is so much of the engine of the offense. Duncan is just enough of a threat, especially early on, that you can get away with having the two of them come off the bench. And I mean, Heat bench, 55 points. Hawks starters, 56 points. So sometimes you can just kind of just overwhelm a team. And I think that that's what took place tonight. It didn't start out well, which I also think is a really good sign for the Heat to go out on the road. Sometimes like a first game after you've had a little bit of a break, you can come out flat. You can be rusty and you can't recover from something like that. Hero and Robinson came in, injected life in the team. Gabe did as well. Cannot discount him as well. But to me, I wouldn't look at this as Tyler and Duncan are figuring things out to the point that Spo's going to go there and trust it in the postseason. But I just think it's good to see both of those guys starting to hit a stride offensively in ways that maybe we didn't see, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think one thing that this shows again is that Tyler Hero at this point is just more comfortable coming off the bench. And not just that he's more comfortable coming off the bench, but it adds this other element. I mean, we used to see this with Dragic, which is that you can fall behind early in a game. Not that you always want to, but if you do, you can get a jolt. And when you get that jolt, it's deflating to the other team because like Atlanta comes out tonight and they haven't been playing particularly well, but they come out with, not a fast start because it was mostly based on Miami's poor shooting, but they come out tonight and they have a lead and then Hero comes in and it's gone. And then all of a sudden, all the momentum that you've built at the beginning of the game has evaporated. Want to pivot to you here, Alex. Hero Robinson. We have talked about why this doesn't work, right? And I don't know that this is a long-term answer. I don't know that we're going to see the two of them playing together a whole bunch down the stretch of games either, because I don't know how much Duncan's going to close, even if Tyler does. And we still don't have, we're still not seeing Oladipo back on the court, which may change the equation also. But why? I'll ask Greg the same question I asked Greg. Why is it working now?
Oh, I mean, I just think it was something that was going to work eventually. And I think I was actually thinking about this like a couple of seasons ago. Me, you, and Alf were talking about, I remember when it was us three, I was bringing up that Tyler and Duncan, like having them run actions for each other, essentially, where the offense is kind of around them to at different points of the game is something that they could go to. And I kind of wanted it to be a closing thing too. And then we saw after a little bit of a sample across the past couple of seasons, it wasn't a great combo, even when you put them around the best players. I think Tyler is just a much better player now, right? I think that's a good part of it. And he's just a much better creator. We saw tonight, he was just, honestly, this might've been his best passing game of the year. I would have to look back, but I just was so impressed. And I'm not saying it to in a bad way at all, right? Like I'm saying he's been very good with the passing this year compared to his past two seasons. And tonight was like the gem of those games. I feel he was manipulating the help defense even more than he has in recent games. And I just feel like he was on point from start to finish, even with a couple of turnovers or whatever. I just think Tyler is at a different level, and Duncan is going to get great looks against guys, especially when he's not playing against team's best defenders. So Spo has always believed in having like multiple good functioning units. He's been doing this for years, whether it's Goran, Dwayne, a couple of seasons ago when it was like Kelly off the bench, he had guys who maybe you would think are in your best five or six coming off the bench. And that would be a good option going forward. Like I'm with you guys. I don't think it's going to be something that stays, but you can see why it would work.
Yeah. And Greg, you made the point here in the chat that Max Strus only played 15 minutes tonight. So it does appear there's a little bit of a hot hand thing going on. And that's something that Sean Rochester talked about on my show, Starting Nine this morning. You know, if Duncan's got it, he stays in a little bit longer. You have a lead. You don't necessarily feel like you got to put the defense out there to clamp down because you got a double digit lead. You continue to ride it and try to push the lead. So this is the flexibility of this rotation. It's the flexibility of this roster. And the shooting has been, good lately. And that's been a big part of this. I want to just a couple more things here on the backcourt, and then we're going to pivot because I want to talk about the return of Deadman, what that means for Omer as well. But, Atlanta has a lot of pieces too, right? And we've talked about them needing a consolidation trade. What stuck out to me tonight is Atlanta's pieces don't look connected right now. They don't look like they want to play together. It looks like they're waiting for a trade or for somebody to clear it out. I do think it's instructive as we go forward, as Eric Spoelstra has to manage a lot of guys who've played well, that this is something that can happen to teams when there are a lot of good players, particularly if they're similar ability, similar level type players. I just think Eric's got a better handle on it. And I think these guys are more mature, and I don't want to use your word again, Greg, but the culture certainly is helpful. And that plays into like Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent was playing really well, comes back tonight, gets some minutes, but not a lot of minutes. He made some defensive plays and all the rest, but Gabe's role is going to change night to night. I just think This is, I think everybody understands Bam and Jimmy are the most important players on this team. And when they come back, their roles return to what their roles were. I think the role players get that. I think the fact that they're alpha type role players will help them in big situations. So I don't think we're going to hear rumblings like we've heard out of Atlanta, but it is something to watch because in basketball, you know, egos are driven by minutes. And so I just think that that's something to take a look at. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the front court here in a second, because there was an addition made and it did lead to some changes, but the Heat got good results there also. Before we do, I'll tell you about another sponsor, the Five Reasons Sports Network. If you're playing daily fantasy, you got to go to prizepicks.com. That's prizepicks.com. Use the code five, F-I-V-E. Your initial deposit, they will match it up to $100. So you don't have to play $100 right away. You can play $20 and you can come back and play $20 again. You can play NHL. You can play NCAA basketball. You could play NFL coming up on the playoff games. And of course, you can play the Heat Hero. We told you to go over tonight. He went over. So you definitely should check out the props over at prizepicks.com. So use the code five, that's F-I-V-E at prizepicks.com. You get your initial deposit match. Also, if you need premium CBD, go to therapistpreferred.com. They've got the gummies, they got the tincture, and they've got the sports cream. It helps with recovery, it helps with sleep, and this is the best stuff. So you get 25% off at therapistpreferred.com if you use the code 5RSN. All right, let's get to the front court here quickly, guys. Dwayne Dedmon comes back after missing a couple of weeks. He was about right on schedule from what it was anticipated. I don't know that we expected him necessarily to play tonight until the announcement was made before the game. As we talked about on before floor, Yurtsevin stays in the starting lineup. That has been Spoelstra's kind of MO here with players coming back from injuries and from COVID, is to work him in off the bench. I thought Dedmon's minutes were really important tonight, and I think he showed again why he is the right backup center for this team at this time, even though Yurt played well down the stretch and obviously finished some things that he didn't finish earlier in the game. And he has that knack for rebounding, but this is what I'll say about Dedmon and why I think he's going to be the guy. His ceiling is not as high as Yurtsevin's. Okay. We know what Dedmon is as a player. He's been that player for a long time. He was that way in Atlanta, but his floor is higher. Like, I don't feel like you get the bad night from Dedmon or the bad possession. Like, you know pretty much what he's going to give you. And I think that certainty, Greg, is why ultimately, and this may irritate some fans who love Dedmon, but they love the promise of Yurtsevin. It's going to be Dedmon in the games that matter, isn't it?
I think so. I think particularly in the playoffs, Dedmon is more of a I guess proven commodity, although Yurt is like slipping and falling into double doubles these days. And I think that for this team, yeah, they're going to likely trust Dedmon. It's a great problem to have. It's a first world rich people problem to have all these options. The first message I got from a buddy as this game closed was, how are you going to sit Yurt after this stretch? And that the person also said, I don't envy Spo. And so I ultimately think, like Ethan, you mentioned about Atlanta looking disconnected. And when you think about Yurtsevin playing this good and Dedmon coming back and him maybe having to take a little bit of a tertiary role versus being a starter or a backup, like you said it on the show the other day, these guys owe a lot of this to Spoelstra. The Heat have invested in these guys when nobody was offering them multi-year contracts. They got guaranteed money put down for them. And that can also, with bird rights, turn into bigger contracts down the line. So I just think everybody's going to play nice. I think like next season, you're going to see guys start to feel like, okay, I want to be in a certain role and I want to play a certain way. So they'll have to address that at some point. But for right now, I just think it's really, for a team that also struggles against size, to have multiple options, if somebody's not looking right, if Dedmon has a flat night or is in foul trouble, you know, you have Yurt that you can go to, and he's going to continue to crash the boards, even to the point that he steals Tyler Hero's triple double clinching rebound. It wasn't the clinching rebound at the time, but now in hindsight, he was one away. So the bench screamed at Yurt for the right reasons.
What do you think, Alex? I mean, Yurtsevin's going to be a part of this program for a long time, but it feels like Dedmon's part of the now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of like we're all on the same page there. But look, even like my feelings have changed just a little bit, right? Like I even last week, I would have been like, oh, it's not really an issue. Like he just goes right back to the bench whenever Bam and Dedmon are healthy again. Now it's like, you know, I understand people being a little bit concerned there. I think we ultimately know what's going to happen. It's going to be Deadman in the playoffs, but I think there's a reason Spo has kept him as a starter. And I think Mike keep this going until Bam comes back is, and shout out to Giancarlo from Heat Beat, by the way, because he posted, I think, the on and off numbers and kind of like certain combos with Deadman versus with Yurt. And a lot of the starters would play better with Yurt than versus than with Deadman, even though the both sets of lineups were positive. I'm not saying that's part of the reason, but to me, when you have a lineup out there with Lowry, Martin, Strus, Tucker, Omer is kind of somebody that you can use a little bit as a playmaking hub, just like they've used PJ in that way at times. And I think that's something that they can use in that, you know, they take advantage of that because they don't have those creators there. You're not, you don't even have Duncan's usual gravity and leverage that you use to create offense. So without him, without Jimmy, you're not starting Tyler. Like they're using your kind of as that playmaker there in the high post that I don't think would be Deadman's role if he was a starter.
All right. Greg asked a question here, but we're going to hold it. We're going to tease this. So we'll just leave everyone with this. Neither of you can answer. We appreciate everybody following our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida. If you got the schmutz, they got the guts. PrizePicks.com, use the code 5. TherapistPreferred.com, use the code 5RSN. Greg asked a question. I'll let everybody think about it because we're going to come back to this week. Is this the deepest Heat team ever? We'll be back tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.